Welcome to Enlightenment of Change with Connie Whitman of Whitman & Associates. Here's Connie.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Enlightenment of Change on webtalkradio.net. I'm your host, Connie Whitman. So as always, I hope as you listen each week to the different episodes that I post, that you get the feeling and the vibe that it's all about helping you navigate change. And hopefully my guests and I are sharing tips and strategies and things that you can implement immediately to help you with whatever that navigation of change that you're looking for. So for me, I hope that we help you build your client relationship, drive more numbers, more sales, and of course, profitability for you, put money in your pocket. But at the end of the day, I really hope that we help you change and inspire your life overall. So thank you so much for joining us every week. And I do hope that you get that from the show. So my quote today is by Lawrence Bozzetti. I hope I said that right. And he says, "I am convinced that nothing we do is more important than hiring and developing people. At the end of the day, you bet on people, not on strategies." So here's a big question. Are you guys hiring and retaining the right people to help your organization grow and flourish? And when was the last time maybe your HR department reviewed and updated job descriptions and qualifications needed for the various positions that you're hiring for? So these are pretty important questions, obviously. Well, now we have a layer on top of that. With COVID, are things changing with COVID, do they appear to be here to stay with whatever's going on with COVID in the workforce? And what do you need maybe to do to shift or pivot to attract high performers in this new age of global business? So during the next half hour, of course, I have an amazing guest. His name is Mark Aylward, and he and I are going to discuss his 30 plus years as a staffing expert business owner. And Mark is a single father. He's a dad of three beautiful adult children, and he also has grandkids, and he's a proud graduate of University of Notre Dame, and he has a marketing degree in BBA. I guess that's what you call a marketing degree. Mark is a lifelong entrepreneur and staffing expert and has built and sold two staffing firms. He's a wealth of knowledge, and he is a fitness and nutrition advocate and an avid reader, writer, and currently transitioning to an online career coaching and professional consulting. So please help me welcome my good friend, amazing man, Mark, to the show. So, Mark, thanks for being on.
Honey, thank you so much for having me. All that applause is making me embarrassed. That's lovely.
Hey, dude, this is your life. This, right? What was that show? This is your life. This is your life. You know, I just try to do justice with the introduction. We were laughing before we started recording. Guys, Mark and I were talking, and we're both similar ages. And, you know, we both agree that we still feel like we're 17. So, a lot of value and knowledge in the brain, yet our bodies and our emotions are still a childlike, which I think is a good thing. Yeah. So first question, how did you get into recruiting, you know, however many years ago that was?
Yeah. So that's an interesting story. I just told it the other day. I was, my wife at the time was, informed me that she was pregnant, and I was kind of uncertain about my career path. I was trying different things, and that kind of turned the volume up, immediately and loud that I got to get something long-term that I can sink my teeth into. And I happened to be at my parents' condo, and my mom's childhood friend had just remarried this guy from Australia, and we were having a glass of wine, and I asked him what he did. I was asking everyone what they did, trying to find mentorship, guidance, direction, whatever. And he said he was a recruiter for Saudi Arabian oil companies, and he found them specific petrochemical engineers. And I thought to myself, long story short, I'm like, I know what a petrochemical engineer was, but I thought Saudi Arabian oil companies, who have more money than God, could find their own people. And because of the living conditions and the location and the cost of living and the culture, they had to seek the assistance of an outside recruiter. And his fees were like $100,000, you know, per pop. And because these guys were paid handsomely and they signed them up for 3-year contracts. So I answered an ad the next day in the Sunday paper, which gives away my age.
I remember that.
And it was for a technical recruiter in Salem, New Hampshire, which was just about 30 minutes north of where I live. Went up for an interview, and they hired me on the spot. And so And then the first guy I placed was an electrical engineer, single dad with three young boys, and he was about to get foreclosed on his home, and I found him a job. And the joy that that brought both of us, I was like, yeah, this is what I want to do. So a little bit of happenstance, a little bit of urgency, a little bit of energy, you know, but that's how it started.
You know, it's funny, just as you shared that story, right? Everything really does happen for a reason, and you just right time, right place. But I believe it's not luck. Well, it is luck to some extent. Let me rephrase that. It is an element of luck. I believe we create our own luck. So by you being out there and asking and being inquisitive to say, what do you do? What do you do? What do you do? And then really taking that moment to process what this gentleman shared with you, that's where the magic comes, right? To me, that's where the opportunities present themselves. And ironically, you look at the paper and bing, now that you were clear on what you were trying to create or potential of what you're trying to create, boom, it's there in front of your eyesight. Just fascinating how that happens over and over through our lifetime, right?
One of the things I tell everyone that I coach is that's the first step, is after you figure out what you want to do, it's like let the world know that you're looking and what you're looking for, and the world will help. And then just pay attention. You know, a lot of things happen to us in our life and we don't pay attention to them. You know, you miss the opportunity to meet someone or you hear something and it doesn't resonate. If you turn that up a little bit and you pay attention a little bit more, you bring that luck to you. I agree with you.
100%, 100%. Next question. What are the most important traits that you look for as for a potential employee? Because we want to make sure that we're honing the right skills. Right, especially with COVID, which we'll talk about in a little bit. But what are those traits that you look for and why are they important for anybody looking for a job?
Yeah, it's interesting. One of the things you said in the introduction was job descriptions and such. I think I've had such insight into so many different companies across the country and the world as to how they hire. And most of them don't do it well because hiring people is difficult. And a lot of the work that should be done up front in terms of scoping out projects and roles and responsibilities and expectations, they're just going out looking for a transaction. And most people are settling for someone who is adequate as opposed to, you know, seeking out someone who's superb. But anyway, to answer your question, I think they're intangible skills for me because the people I hire are salespeople, recruiters, operational people. So they don't necessarily need a specific like engineering skill or a medical degree or anything like that. Software engineers are the people that I focused on for most of my career. They need a certain set of skills, right? But I look for things like, first of all, integrity, right? I look for work ethic, right? I look for people that are more interested in looking for solutions than they are complaining about problems. I look for self-accountability. And one of my favorite questions, I'm not sure if it violates human resources rules or not, but it's like, tell me what's the most difficult thing that's ever happened to you and tell me how you came out the other side of it. And that's literally, if you ask that question, again, unless you need particular scientific or engineering type skills or a license of some kind, that story, the way someone answers that story is really, that's almost all I need to hear. Because it tells me everything about their character. You know, I can teach them everything else. And so I've made a decision in my career, Connie, to hire people with very little experience that have all those intangible skills, because I think my experience with those people is they don't come with any predisposed attitude or manner of doing things. The opportunity that you give them creates a level of loyalty and appreciation that you don't always get from a more senior person. That might be a little more entitled. So it's a personal choice of mine. It's not the only way to do it, but that's how I view that.
So I want to just share, because everyone, Mark was kind enough. My son graduated last year and then bam, COVID hit. So the kid was doing all these interviews and then everything stopped. And I just want to share, Mark, the one question, that question that you just asked, what was the most difficult thing in your life? And the way it was presented to my son, he was on a Zoom interview and I think it was like six or seven people on the Zoom call. And he's a kid. So first of all, think about that intimidating position to be in. And the question was asked, what's not on your resume that would give us insight into who you are? And I think I shared this with you, and actually my son John shared it with you, Mark, that he growing up had an auditory processing issue that was diagnosed in first grade, was classified, all of these things. So when this gentleman asked that question, my son is an honest kid, right? So authentically, he said, you know, the difficulty I had in school, you know, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, I just know how to study. I know how to learn. And, you know, I've come out the other side, I think, better and stronger. So when we shared that story with you and I happened to be on the call, thanks, you know, Mark said, come on the call, Connie, which I did. And you switched it just ever so slightly. And you said, first of all, that was great that he answered honestly and authentically. That was a great piece of information to share. And the gentleman who asked was taken back by my son's response. I think because it was so honest and genuine and vulnerable, right? This big, giant kid, he's 6'4". Putting himself in this vulnerable position. But everybody, listen to this. This is the little twist, and this is the magic I think that Mark brings to any relationship or anyone looking for a job. So, Mark, I don't know if, remember if you know what you said to my son, but you said to him, John, that was awesome that you were honest and authentic and genuine. Flip it and dig a little deeper by saying, hey, first grade, my mom and dad did this for me. By fifth grade, I knew I had to work harder than everybody else in the room to be able to achieve the good grades that he strove for, because my son's a competitive son as well. And you said, just say that, understanding that I had to work harder. I just dug in and worked harder than everybody else. And I continue to bring that skill to the table, whether I'm playing hockey, I'm at school, or in a job. That little switch, and Mark, just to give you feedback, my son, after we finished, he goes, oh my God, that was like great. That was such a great recommendation. That little twist was a huge difference in how to answer that question.
Yeah, I think that, well, thank you. And I'm glad that he took that to heart. I think, you know, I think call it just reframing things, right? I like transparency. I think everyone does. The only obligation that you need to take along with transparency is there's a timing component to when you say things. You don't volunteer certain things too early to lose your leverage. And then there's a way to say things to make it, the way to say it is specific to the circumstance. And I have a lot of people tell me all the time, can you say that again? I want to write that down. That's just practice, right? I've seen that situation so many times. And then it's like the way you articulate it. So it's just a little bit of reframing. And I do that with almost everyone I coach many, many different times, because the way you say things is important.
But that's your superpower. And it was funny because when you did say it, I think I did ask you at the time, because I took notes and I reviewed it with my son afterwards and said, that was a beautiful way to say, hey, here was something that I was given, right? This little bit of a deficit, but look at what I learned from it. And now it's one of my strengths that I bring to the table. And just that little pivot was huge in how we can answer that question going forward. And I hope that somebody asks the question the way you did, what's your difficulty, or what is there that we should know about you that's not on your resume? And I think that's an important piece of information for my son to share, because here's the reality. He does have to work harder than everybody else, but he doesn't even know it anymore. He just does it. He just works harder because it's a learned behavior, right? It's a muscle memory thing.
Yeah, no, that's awesome.
Yeah.
That's
yeah. Cool. So again, I felt compelled, Mark, to share that, because that's one of your superpowers, that reframing to take something that, okay, yeah, it's the truth, and make it this tremendous, impactful punch, you know, in a potential interview. What is your philosophy overall on training your employees?
You know, I think nobody does a good enough job of training. And I think, and that's across the board. My perspective, I've seen so many companies hire people and then talk to those people over time and how they're trained and acclimated and acculturated and all these things. And my philosophy on training is hands-on. You know, I used to really love being out on the sales floor and just moving around. Most of the time that we had phone systems where you could listen in to conversations but not be heard on the conversation, and then you coach those people. So we took real-time events and either participated in the conversation so that they could find out what to do, or sat down after the conversation and went over them. I'm not a big meeting guy, and I don't like giving people just documentation and saying, you know, read this and just do your job. It's a very personal approach, and training is actually one of my favorite things. So...
That's my world. It's funny, as you're saying that, for me, training is definitely hands-on, and it has to be the how-tos. Giving people, I think sometimes in training, like you said, they send memos or they have meetings, and they talk about what we want you to do, but they never give the tools of how to do it or the application of whatever the skill or behavior that we're looking for. You say what the goal is, but we're not telling people how to achieve that goal, and behaviors drive the numbers. So if I'm not changing the core behavior in people, whatever skill it is that they need, they're never going to attain that goal. So that's, yeah, it's interesting. And it's all about application. I agree with that 100%. Yeah. What do you see as the biggest obstacles with people right now looking for a job, or just overall in general?
Well, you know, it's one of the things that I was talking to somebody the other day about, and I do this a lot. I think it's true all the time, but it's highlighted now, it's emphasized, it's exaggerated now, and that is, people think that the way to find work is to put a resume together and send it out to as many places as possible in a kind of an impersonal way, and then they get frustrated that they don't hear back, and they don't even know who's looking at the resume. You know, it might not even be a person initially, it might be a robot, it might be an automated system that's looking for acronyms or quantifiable years of experience or a particular degree. And you just leave so much on the table when you don't get to bring your intangible skills to the conversation. So as I said to your son, you know, first thing we do is polish everything up, your LinkedIn profile, your resume. Yes, you have to do that, right? And depending on what you do for work. But the next thing you have to do is you have to tell everyone that you're looking for work. And you have to start reaching out to people through either LinkedIn groups or colleagues or former bosses or your neighbors. I have taught so many people, Connie, that just do that and personalize your approach. Get on the phone or in an email conversation with the actual person that's going to be the person that you report to, and get out of this habit of going blindly onto the internet, into portals, and or sending your resume to people you don't know. And so many people I've coached do that. All they do is that, and they find a job. And it's such a simple concept, right? But the process of hiring, I think, has been broken for a long time. You know, on the flip side of that, I'll ask clients for my own value proposition, you know, in the course of a conversation, so how many resumes do you look at before you decide to talk to somebody? And you know what most people say? I don't know. Think about that. Think about that. Because they will say, your fee sounds high. And I got this little bubble over my head saying, well, why are we still talking if my fee sounds high? You're obviously not successful finding these people. And I ask that question because it puts them in a box. And then I go, well, it's probably 15 or 20, right? What if it was two? What if I could do that with two and save you all that time and get that person in place and productive in 2 weeks instead of 2 months? So I think the whole hiring process is broken, and I think we just need to flip it upside down and personalize it again, because we're moving away from all this personal stuff, right? We're moving towards technology and online. There's a detriment to that. There's a challenge with that.
I agree, because you have to get to know the person before you hire them. And, you know, and I know you've heard this through your career. People get promoted because, oh, you've been there the longest, let's promote you. You're a warm body, right? Even if they don't really have, like, so you're really good at an operational task. Now we're going to let you run the department and lead it. When you have zero leadership skills, you have zero desire to lead. Now what you've done is you've destroyed the entire department. So here you have this one strength. Now you put me in a position that I'm not qualified for. But I think we see that a lot just with hiring practice. It's let's throw enough, you know, spaghetti against the wall and see what sticks. And it's such a waste of time and money and energy, where we could be creating profit, by getting the right people in the right job. So yeah, I agree with that. One of the other recommendations you made, and I'm just trying to make things tangible, Mark, for people listening. So another thing you told my son, he loves to work out, right? He's a muscle man. He's not gonna be able to fit through the door. He's so muscular, and which is okay. And the other thing, he's hockey. He's played hockey since he's 3 years old. He's now 24. And you said, join groups where there's, you know, all men, right? All roads lead to men's hockey, right? Into the men's league. And you said join hockey and join, you know, weight and that kind of groups, and just engage on that. Let them get to know who you are by sharing relevant information, responding intelligently. And we giggled, right, Mark? We said, and most of the people that are still playing hockey and they're in their 50s, they're in executive positions. They're the ones hiring, but you have to get through the HR person. So go directly through them, right? Build that relationship. It's exactly what you just said. Get in front of the person who's hiring, and not just through an algorithm on a computer that the HR person might not ever see you. And I thought that was, you know, a brilliant recommendation. It's so simple, yet nobody's doing it.
Well, the good stuff's always simple in my experience.
And yeah.
Having that common ground, and a lot of people are reticent, particularly young people in my experience. Well, that sounds very aggressive. That's a little bit. I say to myself, you know what? If I'm approached by anybody and they say, I'm very interested in what it is that you're doing, can I get 5 minutes of your time? And they sought me out and found me. All I have is appreciation for their courage. I'm going to reward that every time. And I tell people, if someone gets upset with you because you got into their space, if you will, their private space, how'd you get my number, that kind of thing. Well, chances are that person's unreasonable, and all you did was find out soon and save yourself a lot of time. So it's not pushy, as long as you're polite and articulate and respectful. It's courageous and it's simple. So, and that's another one. That's another, if people just did those two things, they probably wouldn't have to do much else to find a good job.
I agree 100%. So again, all of this advice, guys, you're getting it firsthand from Mark, okay? And he knows his stuff. So next question, have you ever had a mentor, and do you recommend people seeking maybe potentially having a mentor?
Yes, 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 and yes, and yes. So I probably not a whole lot professionally I feel more strongly about than mentorship. And I think one of the things that's happened now with this COVID thing is people are seeking out advice more than they ever have before, right? And it's changed the scope of academia. It's changed the scope of remote work. And all this landscape shifting, all these rules changing, and the chaos that it's created is an opportunity for everybody. So my mentor, I found him because I let a couple people know that I was looking to relocate to Florida. And on the golf course, this friend of mine, Joanna, said, well, I know a guy that you should talk to. And I went in and I met with him. And 3 days later, I was on my way to Florida to help him start a company. And for five and a half, almost 6 years, he basically said to me, do you want to help me start a consulting firm? And I said, what's a consulting firm? And then he told me, and he said, I'll finance it. I'll fund it. I'll teach you how to do everything. And you have to do all the work, but I'll do everything else. And I said, let's go. And so I got 5.5 years, probably a PhD in business operations and staffing. He paid me handsomely. And at the end of it, I got a big fat check when he sold the company. So he said to me, I want to go back to college. I'm like, why? You know, why? So mentorship is outstanding. It accelerates your curve. It accelerates your learning. You just have to find a person that resonates with you. You have to seek out mentors, and you have to have a clear idea for them as to what you want and what you're willing to do. You can't just go up to somebody and say, can I have your help? I mean, that might work, but going into that conversation with a particular person in mind and a particular task and goal in mind, this is what I'm willing to do in order for me to get your wisdom and knowledge and accelerate my learning. So there's a way to go about it. But boy, if everybody sought out a mentor and was successful at getting it, particularly at an early age, there's nothing like it. There's nothing to replace it. It's the most valuable asset I've ever come across.
Yeah. And see, again, I go back to what we were saying right at the beginning of the show, Mark. You created your own luck. Yes, you happen to be on the golf. Everybody, see, some people hearing this say, oh yeah, well, he's lucky. He was on the golf course with the right person. Not exactly. Yes, you were on the golf course, but you're the one who articulated, hey, this is what I'm looking for. I'm looking to Florida. Do you know anybody? I could use some, you know, some introductions. Not, can you find me a mentor? Can you find me a job? It's, can you find me some introductions? So it's how we position things and ask for help without being, you do all the work for me kind of thing. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Absolutely. You have to give to get. And I think you lead with giving and then the get comes away. And just, you know, letting people know you want some help is like, people like helping. Most people want to help.
No. I agree, 100%. Every day, somebody approaches me, they're Rutgers grad, and they send me a nice LinkedIn. I'd love to connect. I see your, you know, alma mater of Rutgers. I just graduated. Do you have any words of wisdom? Can we do a virtual coffee? 5 minutes of your time? Every time I say yes, and I talk to them, send me your resume. Keep me on your, you know, look on my LinkedIn. If you see that I know somebody in a company that you're looking to get to or get promoted to or whatever, use me. If you want to pick my brain and you were, like you said before, not aggressive, that's not the right word, but thoughtful enough to seek me out and then ask for help, I'll help you every time. So, it goes back to what we said at the beginning.
And the component of that is, sorry to interrupt.
No, that's okay.
The 6 degrees of separation is Kevin Bacon game. It's like everybody can get you to somebody. Yeah. It might take a couple of steps, but the world is much smaller than it often appears to be, and we lose sight of that as well.
Well said. It's absolutely true. Now, with the pandemic, we're coming out of it, yet some states I know are still in retraction mode. Where do you see hiring going forward?
Well, I think my contention is that remote work is here to stay. That's a big one. As I said, I think the number of companies that have dropped the requirement for having a college degree is rising rapidly. I want to say in an article a couple of years ago, Facebook, Google, Amazon, Twitter, all these tech companies in Silicon Valley have said we no longer require a college degree, which changes the landscape of hiring altogether.
Yeah.
And I think because this has kind of brought out a little bit more of the value of chutzpah, courage, willingness to work, willingness to do anything within the realm of morality, that's what people are going to start looking more for. I think the intangible skill is going to come back as a lead quality. And those are my thoughts.
I hope so. I have a niece and she works in an HR department for, I want to say it's an energy company. And so we saw her recently at an event and she said that they were changing. She had to go back and change the job descriptions and take out that college degree was required. So I says, well, then what are the criteria? So she says, we're putting in more specific, tangible criteria of you need to be able to, let's say, work spreadsheets, you know, with detail complex formulas or something. I don't know. So they're putting more specific criteria versus that college degree. I was shocked when she told us that. So I think you're spot on with that, which kills me because I'm just finishing. My younger son is going into his senior year of college. Yikes. You know, I mean, you have kids that went through college. It ain't cheap.
Is it not cheap? But I think, and I think this is the case for a long time. I think I wasn't ready to go to college when I was 17. I was immature. I wasn't ready to absorb knowledge. I wasn't ready to even appreciate the opportunity. And I say that willingly, openly. I mean, I think it's a rare 17 or 18 year old person that is even ready to go to college. And I tell people all the time, and I have to be careful when the parents are involved because I don't want to be contrarian to what they've raised the child doing. But like, get a backpack and a couple hundred bucks and get on a plane and go to another country and come back in a couple months, come back in a year. Don't come back at all. You know, just see the world. There's so much going on out there that we don't know about when we're 17.
Yeah.
And that perspective, that level of appreciation and the gratitude that comes from seeing somewhere else is priceless. It's priceless.
Agree. You know, I wish I was more open-minded, I think, when my kids started college, because, you know, my dad, an immigrant to this country, he saw the value of education, and which was, I agree, when we were younger, maybe that education, it wasn't so dime a dozen, right? There was few and far between. Now everybody has this college degree or is going for this college degree. So what's the separation of skill now? Oh, they all have a degree. So I am not as what's the right word, enamored with the academic world, and especially what, you know, I see my kids, what we've spent and the knowledge they're coming out with, they're not learning how to think. And that concerns me. That's another whole conversation, right? Scary.
Your early question about, you know, what is required or what do I look for in someone? It's, I think the best skill that you can bring to the table if you're looking for work or a mentor is the ability to solve problems, complex problems, to understand what is the actual problem, not the symptoms, the problem. Yeah. Why is it a problem? What are we trying to fix about the problem? And then go over that in your brain. Be thoughtful about that, because all the best software engineers that I've ever represented, for instance, they're not just good coders. They solve problems, right? And everybody needs problems solved. So I think, and you can learn, I'm not diminishing the value of education. I educate myself every day on new things.
Yep,
but I think the access that we have to knowledge right now is so vast that you don't need to go to one particular institution to get it, you know, like my, and I think that we understand that conceptually, but I think this COVID thing is bringing that out, because, you know, when I went to Notre Dame, it was probably 10 grand. It's probably 70 now. It's crazy. There's not a 700% increase in the value of what you get. It's actually lower, in my opinion.
Agreed.
We learn about less practical things and more theoretical things than we did 20, 30 years ago. So they don't both go up. One went up and one went down. I mean, it's something to think about. It's something to reconsider. Just like the hiring process needs to be flipped upside down, the way we view education needs to be looked at.
Agree 100%. And it's funny because, you know, I went back to school for my MBA about 5 years after I graduated, undergraduate. And so I kept saying to my kids, go for your MBA. Again, just a whole different perspective. By the end, I don't know about that MBA anymore. I don't know that it's worth it, because you're not learning exactly what you said, how to solve problems. You're learning how to get a degree. And I just think there's more to life than that. And I'm with you. I learn every day. I read something new. I want to learn something new every day that I can incorporate into my business, so that I can obviously make more money so I could do more good in the world, but that I can create some kind of legacy at the end of all of this, of whatever we're creating in our life. So you got to keep learning. If you're not a lifelong learner, you're becoming irrelevant. And now with COVID, like you said before, with all this technology now kind of ramping up and becoming super easy to use, you're going to become irrelevant super fast. So yeah, we have to learn every day. Okay, final question. And I'm smiling because in your mind, you're still this age. But what advice would you give yourself if you could go back in time to talk to your 21-year-old self? What would you say?
Yeah, a little bit of a blowing my own horn there. I actually recorded a video about that, and I wrote an article about it, and it's pretty easy to find, and I'll leave that with you if you want. But
yeah,
there were 21 things I wish I knew when I was 21, and I'm not going to rattle off all 21 of them, but I think and I don't know that you can rank them in order. The mentorship thing is right up there. You know, seek out a mentor early and often, multiple mentors. But I think the other thing that I kind of regret is that I moved my businesses from one market to another. I moved from Boston to Florida. I did not start early enough networking with people and capturing the data that I gathered networking and staying in touch with people. I think if I had access to all the people that I've helped over the last 30 years, a lot of things in my professional life would be easier. And I think my personal life would be further enriched by that as well. But I think young people need to start capturing information in a database. Could be a spreadsheet. You can do it on LinkedIn. You can turn LinkedIn into your database. Stay in touch with people. Reach out to people. Ask them how they're doing. Because that's how you're going to find a mentor, number one. And you're going to go back to those people over the course of your lifetime for assistance and to assist. And everything in your professional world and your personal world will be easier if you capture that in such a fashion that you can retouch those people. And when you do, you have notes to indicate the context of your last conversation. And nobody told me to do that. I didn't recognize to do that. But when I look back on it, boy, that would be a valuable database.
Wow. So. That is so true. And I never thought about that. And it's funny because, you know, I just published my book, became number one selling author in U.S. and internationally, which is really cool. But it was interesting. Yeah. So one of the young ladies, gosh, I probably haven't taught her. It's got to be 15 years that we've been connected. And of course, we stay in contact on LinkedIn. And she wrote the most, again, I haven't seen her in years, but we stay kind of connected on LinkedIn every so often, respond to each other's posts. She wrote a beautiful accolade to me, and that everybody in her orbit should buy my book, right? But it was, you know, I'm glad I met you 15 years ago in my career. She was younger. She was probably in her late 20s then. She says, I use what you taught me every day, and my career has advanced because of you. And I was taken back, and I, you know, messaged her and said, you know, I welled it up. I said, that was such an amazing way to share my book and try to promote and get people. I had no idea. And she said, you have no idea how you've impacted my life, because we don't talk about those things. But I was humbled and taken back. I can't even tell you. But I wish, I agree with you. But you have to remember something. I think when we were younger, Mark, we didn't have the resources like we have now with spreadsheets. We have computers, for goodness sake. So we would have had written notes all over the place with people that we were meeting in our network. It's so much easier today. So I agree. That's a great one.
But yeah, all the more reason to do it was because you have the tools. I don't know. I can't remember why I published that article or shot that video, but I think it was compelled because I think it was because I had recently helped my kids, and I told you that story. After I helped them, they helped me recognize, Dad, you know stuff that no one else knows. You got to get this out there. You got to help more people. And all of a sudden I was helping all their friends and they were getting jobs. And I was like, you know, I can put this down as a starting point. Just go read this or just go watch this. And if you want to accelerate your process after that, I'll come and I'll coach you, and I can make some money doing that, and I can expedite your success. But you can read that and just do all that stuff, and you're gonna make progress. So I just had to get it out, and it's available. So it's interesting that you asked that question.
Yeah, and I would like to post that because I like that 21 tips I wish I knew when I was 21. Because here's the deal. At 58, I'm sure I can use that list as well and start to continue to implement into, you know, how I do business and how I network myself, right? We're always learning and growing. I do want you to share quickly your target market, because we talked about my son, you talked about the kids, you've talked kind of generically about people that you can help. Yes, guys, Mark can help any one of you listening. There is no doubt in my mind. I love him. I think he's amazing. And I'm beyond grateful for how he helped my son. Now, with that said, your sweet spot of we're trying to get Mark to go a mile deep with his target market. So can you just share that briefly? Because I know a lot of my listeners are exactly the demographic that you're looking for.
Well, it's, yeah, as you know, we talked about this briefly before we started the recording, because I'm wrestling with that. I want to help everybody, but that's not a marketing strategy, right? We're marketing people. We're salespeople. Yeah. Understand the value of targeting a very specific market. And as I've been trying to get my arms around my voice very recently for that purpose, because I can go wide later, but I have to start here.
Yep.
I am a single dad, and I'm divorced, and I am an expert in professional career transition. So, when I say that, I think back to when I was in the midst of all that chaos many, many years ago, how alone I felt and how scared I felt and how anxious I felt, and my confidence was impacted. So that person, that single dad who now has twice the responsibility he had yesterday, is also facing, well, how do I evolve this in my professional life as well as my personal life? And I'm not blowing my own horn here. I just think when I say that, that's the perfect person for me, you know? So I'm going to give that some more thought. And I also think that the professional that's in the six-figure range is contemplating serious career transition. Like, I'll tell you briefly about this one guy I recently coached, and he was probably 35 or 40 years old. He was a six-figure guy, and he found me on LinkedIn, and one of my articles resonated with him. So he got on my calendar for the 30-minute free call that I start my coaching out with. And essentially what he wanted my help with was, I have three opportunities right now, and I don't know which one to take. Right? This guy was buttoned up. He had his retirement put away. He was making good money. His wife was working. They had a home paid for. He had rental properties. I mean, this guy from the outside world did not appear to be in need of any help at all. What he needed was somebody with my perspective to bounce things off. And I talked to him for 2 hours, and I've got his recommendations on my website. That was such a fun conversation. It was strategic. It was life. It was planning for the future. And all of these experiences that I had, all of this this history I have with this, the nature of this notion is I helped him tremendously. And the value of that, he would probably tell you, was priceless. That's exactly what I needed. He was, so that guy was, as I would say, stuck, right? It's a great problem to have, right? But not when you have it, right? It's like, which do I do? And he ended up taking the one that I recommended, I thought, and we talked about the reasons why, and we talked about one was consulting on the road, one was working, relocating to another location, and one was a nonprofit. And he ended up taking the nonprofit, and we've stayed in touch. So if you're really stuck with a professional decision, you're in my audience. So I answered it, and I didn't answer it because I'm still trying to get the answer for myself, if that makes sense.
But you did. Anybody who's in transition, and it could be even single moms. I know women and men think differently, but that fear, that noose around the neck of I can't breathe because now you are, you know, in some regard, a sole provider, and the responsibility of raising these kids as well as paying for stuff is on you. I think that was an important piece, but I also think anybody in transition, and Mark, let's face it, with COVID, nothing is like everything's shaken up and upside down. So I am sure that many people listening are either in transition or have determined, you know what, I don't want to go back to my office. This remote thing kind of worked for me, and I'd maybe like to explore other ways or better things that I could be doing with my career. So I think transition, we are in transition as a world, but I think there's a lot of people that are in transition right now that maybe 4 months ago were not. So I think that they all need you, Mark. That's the message.
Well, you know, I guess, you know, kind of a final thought. It's one of the things that's really apparent to me. It's been apparent to me for a long time, but I have a heightened appreciation for it now, is that when you're in career transition of any kind, the emotions swirl. I mean, there's anxiety, there's fear, there's sometimes there's shame if you got laid off, there's self-worth, there's confidence. These are all deep emotions. And my approach to people is that I'm very sensitive to those, and I work with people on those emotions. And when I give people answers and you watch them go from anxious and fearful to hopeful and confident right before your eyes, it's magical. You know,
it's just
like you're intoxicating. So
yeah, I love it. It's a good addiction to have, Mark. Helping people doesn't get better than that, right? So guys, I think every one of you need to have a conversation with Mark. So go, you can either email him at mark@7pillarsglobal.com. So 7pillarsglobal.com, and the 7 is a number 7. Go to his website. Can I tell you, his website is a plethora of information for you to look through. It's 7pillarsglobal.com. I will post that on the Web Talk Radio Enlightenment of Change platform so you guys can easily find him. And also, I'm going to post, you sent me, Mark, places to read career-related content, and you gave me two links. One is LinkedIn and one is Quora.com, and I know you have a ton of articles on that. Do you want me to post that too?
Yeah, I mean, I think I tell people, you know, when I get you on the phone for 30 minutes, it's free. We just talk about where you are, what your challenges are, where you want to go, and then I give you some advice. And at the end, you can choose to engage my services for an hourly wage, and it takes me 2 or 3 hours max to get people kind of vaulted from where they are to where they want to go. And but all that information is online. As 560 answers I've answered on Quora.
Yeah.
And then I think I'm closing in on 100 articles, and they're all career related. So if you don't have the money, just go to the site and engage with all the free content, the website and Quora and LinkedIn. And you can, they're all connected. There are links on the website to get to all my social profiles, and LinkedIn and Quora are the most professional oriented. So I wouldn't, you know, Instagram, Twitter, not so much. But yeah, there's tons of free stuff.
Yeah. And again, you're the wealth of information, and you were kind and just wonderful with my son. So, you know, guys, just connect with Mark. I'm telling you, he's got the answers for you, and how he just shifts things so beautifully and articulates things. It's like magic happening. My son was much more confident after speaking to you. And, you know, as a parent, I'm grateful for that, because, you know, I could say the same exact thing, Mark, and I'm an idiot. You know, you said it, and it was like, you know, God was talking to him. So I do commend you on that as well. So check Mark out again, check him out, Mark directly, Mark at sevenpillarsglobal.com. Go to the website, tremendous amount of information, sevenpillarsglobal.com. Also go to my website, whitmanassoc.com. I have the free communication style assessment. My book is on there, which is all about the application of my 7-step sales process. So go to whitmanassoc.com for all of those freebie resources, all sorts of cool things on there as well. Mark, thank you again so much for being on. And you know, I love hanging out with you. It's fun as well as so informative. And I feel like I even learn a million things every time I have a conversation with you. So thank you so much for being on and taking the time and just sharing your expertise with my peeps. So thank you so much. Truly appreciate it.
Thank you so much, and good luck to John, and as well, congratulations on your book. That's
awesome. Oh, thanks. Yeah. Very exciting. A very exciting time, right? Here's the bottom line. Keep moving forward. Things you never thought you could do that you were terrified to do, just do them. You know, that's the right change. That's what the show is about. Keep moving forward and build that momentum for yourself. So yeah, thank you. Thank you for that as well. And you guys, I hope you will join me weekly as we question, build, and discover together. Doesn't matter what the changes you're going through, guests like Mark, myself, our websites, there's so much information out there to help you and guide you. You just have to tap into it. So you have to make the decision and choose to do something differently and continue to move forward, navigating your change and whatever that is for you. Thank you all so much for joining me. Thank you to my wonderful guest, Mark. You've been listening to Enlightenment of Change with me, your host, Connie Whitman, on webtalkradio.net. I wish you all a wonderful and inspired week. And please just take that next step forward, whatever it is for you. Time moves on. Keep staying relevant and moving with it. Thanks, everybody.
You've been listening to Enlightenment of Change with Connie Whitman of Whitman & Associates. To learn more about Connie, visit her website, whitmanassoc.com. Thank you for tuning in. We're glad you were here.